Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Okay, we are here. Dude, I haven't been in the studio in like 5 weeks because really? I recorded so many podcasts that I just haven't had to
like
come in.
You're just like laying back, chilling on the beach, sipping a fucking margarita. Like, yeah,
well,
get
I don't drink, but I was in bed with my dogs for like 5 weeks. Just like,
do your dogs drink?
This is the great life. A little bit. Cool. Guys, without an introduction, my guest, Andy Milonakis, is here today. I'm so excited. You know, we became friends because of Vine years ago. We were both like loving Vine, me, you,
before
and Simon.
It got bad.
before the shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
We were having so much fun on there.
It was a really cool sweet spot for the first year. And obviously, it's subjective, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, I think it was just kind of like gotten to more like teens and younger audience, but at first it was more like artistic and kind of weird and
like
shit.
Adam Goldberg, remember, like James Urbaniak and like Marlo Meekins,
hell yeah,
and people were all doing like this really cool artsy shit on there.
And I was breaking plates on the floor.
That was hilarious though. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it was good times. Okay, so we were just talking about, and I'm starting this off because we were just talking about how he just moved. Can I say that you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you
tell me my address if you want.
Oh, okay, cool. So I'm gonna give out his address at the end of the podcast. No, you just moved downtown LA.
Yeah.
And I was telling him that like I lived in downtown LA in 2005 when there was nothing.
Yeah, 15 years ago, it was like a dystopian fucking like Michael Bay film.
Like so scary. Like there would be like just trash blowing down the street and like homeless zombies and like,
I mean, they still have that, don't get me wrong.
Oh, okay, glad
but
to know.
But now there's you know, nice places to eat and have some drinks amongst the homeless zombies.
Right. So I mean, it was really scary back then, and I actually I probably have told this story before, but I'm gonna tell it again just to like, before we get into your worst firsts, I'm going to tell you my worst first experience living in downtown LA, okay? So I lived in this place called the Medici on 7th and Bixel. I'm sure you've passed it. It's like this really fancy building in downtown LA.
Probably.
Where like a bunch of lawyers live there because they worked in downtown. But it was like the only nice thing in downtown LA. There was no, you know, grocery store. There was nothing. There was a Rite Aid. That's it. So I lived there, and I lived with some girls, and I used to take all of our groceries at the end of the month that were, like, not expired, but were going to go bad within the next week, and I'd put them all together, and I would go and give it to the first homeless person that I saw on the street. That was, like, my thing, because there's always so many homeless people.
And that's how worst first started.
My worst first time being a generous person. So here's my worst first time being a generous person. I see this lady, and she has a little dog with her, and I always feel bad for the people that have dogs, right? Because I'm like, oh, fuck. And she's sitting there, and she's got her head down, and I have this giant bag of fucking groceries, and I set the bag next to her because I didn't want to, like, wake her up, right? So I gently set the bag next to her, and she's like, what the fuck? fuck is this? And shit. I was like, oh my God, like Jesus. And she fucking wakes up, pops up all psycho, and she starts going through the bag, and she's like, a can of tuna? What the fuck? I'm fucking vegan. And she's like, what am I supposed to open this with? My fucking teeth? And she had no teeth. And I was like, ah! And I felt so bad. I'm like, I'm sorry. I was just trying to help. And she's like, guess what? I have fucking AIDS. And I was like, ah! And she was spitting on me. And I'm all like, oh my God, did I get the spit in my mouth? Like, I was like so fucking scared. And then she starts chasing me. I'm not even fucking kidding. She gets up and she's fucking like rabid. And she starts chasing me. She's like, ah! And I was like, ah! And I'm like running through all these business people. And they're like, leave her alone. And I'm like, ah! I'm like running from her. And I fucking ran so fast. And I fucking lost her. But how fucked up is that?
It's crazy because it's one of those things that doesn't seem real.
No, but
you're kind of like almost like, what the fuck? Yeah, I can't believe this is my reality right now.
It was so in the moment, I couldn't believe it was happening.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh, she's a crackhead. Like,
oh,
she
yeah.
She was tweaking out. She was like twitching and fucking freaking out.
Yeah, my, I didn't have that funny of a homeless experience, but I had something similar when you said that she's like, tuna fish, I'm a vegan.
Yeah.
I went to some like douchey Hollywood party where they give you a gift bag with a bunch of stuff in it.
Right.
One of the items was this like gold card from Burger King. It was like a $100 gift certificate to Burger King. You could just use the card for
anything
up to $100. Right. You can keep going back, whatever. So I was like, all right, I'm like, I'll ride and die for In-N-Out, but Burger King, McDonald's, like, fuck that shit.
That's where I draw the goddamn line, okay?
That's where I draw the line. I'm like, that shit's garbage. So I was like, yeah, I know it seems a little weird, me thinking it's garbage, giving it to someone, but I'm like, some people just actually need to eat, so it's probably better to give it away than throw it out.
And they do have salads, I think.
Yeah, so
I mean,
I'm
the
like,
lettuce is probably
like,
plastic.
So I just tell my friend to pull over, and I was like, hey, man, you want this? It's a $100 gift card to Burger King. The first homeless guy I saw. And he just looked at me and he goes, I don't need Burger King. I'm like, okay. Got back in the car and bounced. I'm like, fair enough. Me either. I tipped my invisible hat to him. I was like,
doesn't it blow your fucking mind? Like, it kind of blows your mind.
Yeah, I mean, well, it blows my mind, but it doesn't. Because I feel like there are so many homeless people that have like a lot of mental problems, right?
Right.
So like, it's not like you're thinking like, I wonder why he didn't take it. He needed it. Like, they're not logical.
They're not
a lot
logical.
Of the time.
Yeah.
There are some homeless people that are completely logical,
right,
and they're just maybe a little bit like, you know, either down on hard times or maybe they're just like choose that life for whatever weird reason. But
yeah.
But then there are like a
the
lot that are just super
are just,
super
yeah
a little bit yeah
yeah I feel you on that. I know. So that was what I wanted to share with you because, but you like downtown. It's cool.
I like downtown. Yeah, I was
it's
telling
different.
Brittany before we started, I was about to move to New York, and then I started working with a new manager, and I did some independent film, and I started like thinking about like I would be limited in New York, and I'd have to feel like I'd fly 5,000 miles round trip every time I wanted to do some little work thing or cameo.
Yeah.
I was like, it sounded cool at the time. So then when I decided to stay in L.A., you get more bang for your buck. So I was like, all right, I need a big space where I could have a green screen and a little like, you know, makeshift studio and stuff like that. So I chose downtown based on the fact that they have a lot of like lofts and live work lofts and stuff like that.
Good areas to hang sex swings and things.
Yeah,
you know, just
exactly.
All the important stuff, like
exactly.
All the vital things for survival.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
I have like a view of like a really busy street, and me and my friends see my computer and they always joke. They joke about me like jerking off in the window with like fucking 100 people downstairs looking at me. I only did that once, but I didn't get in trouble.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. So I was telling you before the podcast, I was like, you know, people come on here and they tell crazy shit. You don't have to get you can get as crazy as you want to get. Talking about bad dates, bad drug experiences, you know, bad jobs. You can talk about pretty much worst anything.
It doesn't have to just be one thing.
No, it can be anything. Like if you're like, oh, I had a fucking horrible time in elementary school. I was beat up or something. Like it could be like your worst first time in elementary school or whatever.
Well, I'll think of more, but I have one off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And then I'll think of some other ones.
Okay,
too.
Okay, yeah. We can just go with it. It's totally
I wish it was funny. This is just bad.
Oh, okay. It's all good. We can cry. We like to cry on this podcast.
I mean, in kind of thinking back, it was kind of funny and how fucked up it was. How, like, you see how human beings can be so fucked up. Mm-hmm. So I used to record music in this studio. It was on Sunset Boulevard, like kind of like Hollywood, West Hollywood area. Uh-huh. And I would go there to record. Also, it was a really big studio. So like we had like a kind of cool boys club thing. Like after clubs, we would go there. We'd bring people back. We'd fucking just drink all night. And then sometimes 3 a.m. after we're drunk, we'll get in the booth and start making songs. It was like such a cool place that like anytime I was bored, I would just show up and there'd be like fucking like 10 people that I knew there. And that's just like, that's a really cool place to have in LA.
Yeah.
So I went there religiously. But right next door, there was a really ghetto underground club, and it wasn't just ghetto, it was like gang shit. Like actually like gangs went there.
You're like, I'm not even trying to say ghetto. You're like, no, it was like dangerous.
Yeah, it was like actually dangerous. So it was like, it was like a bunch of gangs, and it was like totally off the books, like underground shit where people would like party and drink and shit.
Whoa.
But it wasn't like authorized for that. It was like some underground shit.
Right. It was just somebody's basement.
And I knew like never to go in there, right? Like there are certain fucking...
It said no white boys on the door.
No, I mean, see, that's the thing. Like, because I've been doing rap for so long. Right. I've been friends with all these rappers. Like, I literally went to Compton by myself. Like, I'm not scared of that type of shit.
Right, right.
But when you're talking about going into a place that's surrounded by only fucking people
gangbangers.
Who are in gangs and shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Dangerous.
That's drawing the line where you're like, all right, now I gotta fucking fall back. Like, so... For over a year, I went to the studio, and right next door, I would I'd never, not once, step foot in this place, ever. So finally, one night, it's one of the producers' birthday party, and he was like, I guess, dating some chick that was there, and we had to go say what's up to him for his birthday. So I was like,
shit.
I wasn't even scared when I walked in. I'm like, all right, I guess they're here tonight. Fuck it, let's go, let's do it. So I step in there. I'm ordering Hennessy. I'm getting fucked up. I'm probably flashing too much money, tipping the fucking bartender and shit. And then some fucking DJ calls my name. I was like, yo, come up here. Yo, Andy Milonakis, blah, blah, blah. And so I climb up these, like, shady bunk bed ladders. It just goes straight up, not like a real ladder. It just goes straight up.
Oh shit! Like up to the DJ booth.
Yeah, it's like straight up bunk bed ladders, and I'm fucking drunk and I'm high, just smoking hella weed, just getting drunk. And so when I get to the top like this, I fall and I fucking land and I break my fucking leg like really bad in two places.
What?
Yeah.
You get up to the top. I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
Yeah, no.
You fall forward and then you...
Not forward.
Backwards.
I get to the top and I fall backwards and I land on my leg and I break my leg in two places.
In the club?
Yeah.
Oh my God, please tell me you have a song called Breaking Your Leg in the Club.
No, but here's where it gets interesting. So
I'm sorry I'm laughing. It's
okay.
Crazy.
My friends that are from like Orange County, they went around and they're like, oh shit. You know,
they're like, we better get him in
and
our lifted
like,
truck.
Oh, I knew I broke my leg, and this is the first time I ever broke a bone in my body. And they fucking went to get the car,
uh-huh.
And then two guys in the club each took a side of my fat ass and brought me up the stairs.
Uh-huh.
And while they were bringing up the stairs, while they were helping me with my broken leg, they fucking robbed me while my leg was broken.
What?
They dug in my pockets and started, and I had a lot of cash with me. They took like over $1,000 and they just dug in my pockets. They're like, we're trying to help you, man. We're trying to help you. And they just fucking ripped.
We're trying to help you, man. They're grabbing your dick. Oh, that's nice wallet. That's his dick. All right, man. We're trying to help you. Trying to help you, bro.
Yeah. They literally ripped my wallet. They took my whole wallet. I had fucking over $1,000 in it. And I'm screaming like, motherfuckers, they took my shit. Someone go get my fucking shit right now. I'm in the car. They're about to take me to the hospital.
You take your cell phone, everything?
No, just my wallet with my cash.
Okay.
And I kept yelling at people to go down there. Someone went down there. They came back and they brought me the wallet with my ID and cards in it with no money. So I'm like, all right, well, at least I got that shit back.
Yeah, at least you got your
but
ID and cards.
Then I was so fucking heated. So they took me, these kids were not from LA. So they took me to this ghetto ass hospital, Kaiser Permanente.
Oh my God. And you have to be a member.
And I have to get surgery because my leg is broken in two places.
So isn't Kaiser like fucked? Like if they won't treat you unless you're like belong to Kaiser?
I don't think so. I don't think that's the case.
Really?
Maybe there's some weird shit. I don't know. Maybe if it's an emergency, it's different.
It's different probably, yeah.
So I'm laying in the bed and I'm like, all right, you know, we're not in some third world country where the guy has a rusty saw, but it is Kaiser Permanente. It might be worse. So I'm like, you know, I'm talking to the doctor.
Kaiser
like,
Permanente sponsors me.
So I'm waiting there like 2 hours and I'm out of it. My leg's broken in two places. One of my friends came and I'm trying to get out of there because Cedars-Sinai.
It's way better.
Not only better, it's supposed to be one of the best hospitals in the fucking country.
Yeah.
So I'm like begging for my friend to get me out of there. They wouldn't release me. They're not illegally allowed to release me. Because I'm there with a fucking broken leg and they can't just let me go.
Right.
So I'm thinking of everything. And then I call my friend whose mother is a nurse. Uh-huh. And she found a loophole. She called a private like ambulance. Uh-huh. She called a some like private fucking, I don't know what the fuck their title was.
Yeah.
That has like a private ambulance.
Wow.
And that was like a loophole where they were allowed to do it. So they fucking scooped me. They were like, you either have to get this surgery or not. We have the fucking surgery prep table ready. Like, tell us what to do. Because if you say no, then you're going to just sit there with your fucking broken leg, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was like, nick of time. We arranged this shit. A private ambulance came, picked me up, took me to fucking Cedars. And then I waited another few hours, pumping me with pain meds and all just fucked up. And they eventually, you know, they gave me the anesthesia and they put a titanium rod in my leg and they had this whole like leg surgery.
All from the club.
All from drinking Hennessy in a fucking gangster club.
Okay, but why at Cedars did they make you wait like 5 hours?
Well,
with a broken leg in two places.
I don't know about 5 hours, but they
a long time.
When you get there, they're not just like, well, we have your surgery table ready. You know what I mean?
Can we talk about emergency rooms really quick? Like when you go in, you could be like, your arm could be coming off and spurting blood and the girl's like, she's just chewing gum.
Yeah.
Okay, why are you here? You're like, my fucking arm is bleeding. She's like, okay, what's your first and last name? Have a seat. We'll get to you.
It's so true. The contrast of like them becoming.
They don't give a fuck.
They're like, I saw 8 people that died this week. Your arm is a little bloody. Sit the fuck down, loser.
Like, but unless like, you have like a hole in your head, they don't care.
That literally happened to me. Another story like there where I got hurt. This was kind of stupid on my part, but it just was one of those things I didn't think of. I was at another studio.
Oh my God.
I got to stop making music.
And hurting the
studio.
I think
God's like, this white boy sucks. Like, we're going to fuck
it. He's like, I broke your goddamn leg in two places. What other sign do I got to give you, boy?
I like how God is like a pastor in that. you know the gates, the electric gates, right?
Yeah. And like front of houses and shit.
So I'm like, I called an Uber or whatever, because I have a license and I drive, but I just don't have a car. I like taking Uber. So the taxi's there, the Uber's there, whatever. So I'm like, okay, the gate's like closed. So I just reach my hand through the gate and press the button. Yeah. But when you do that and your arm is by the part that doesn't move, the gate moves, that post doesn't move, and your arm is in the middle, so the gate just closed on my fucking arm, and I literally was stuck there thinking I was going to die. I'm like, there's so much pressure on my arm, I don't know how I'm going to ever fucking survive this. And the taxi driver gets out, and he starts pulling in the other direction, and I'm trying to pry my fat fucking meaty arm out of this fucking thing, and I finally like rip it out of there, and I'm like, oh, thank fucking God. And my arm is just fucking swollen, and I go home and I just take some NyQuil, and then I'm like, this is not gonna work. I didn't need more than NyQuil.
Was your arm broken?
No, that's the thing. It the way it pressed together, it didn't break. It was like up here, and it just completely went like that.
Compacted
but like
your bones.
Yeah, but it didn't break my arm, which was lucky. So I finally got it out. I went to the emergency room, and I'm in fucking so much pain now, and I'm pacing back and forth. They're like, sir, you have to sit down. And I'm like, I'm in fucking pain. They're like, you have to sit down. I'm like, I can't sit down. And just exactly how you described it, they're like, well, we're going to see you as soon as we can.
We'll get to you in 16 hours, sir. Just breathe.
But yeah, that was, and then I went to the back. They looked at my arm, And the doctor handed me a pill. And I've never done painkillers in my life, like real painkillers, right. like Vicodin or whatever.
What was it?
I think it was just a Vicodin, a regular Vicodin.
Yeah.
I took the Vicodin, and like 3 minutes later, I was like, I felt like that didn't happen to me. I was like, what? I was like, really?
Now you know why people love painkillers.
Yeah. That shit's dangerous, though.
They're so dangerous. It makes you feel that way with emotions, too.
Yeah.
Like if you're sad about something, you just take a painkiller and they go away.
Yeah, I mean, I've honestly, I've experimented, like, I haven't experimented with, like, street drugs, because my thing is, what's crazy about to me, like, I've known a lot of seemingly logical, normal people being like, oh, yeah, you know, I just do Molly once in a while. But I'm like, but you're getting it from some, like, douche in a fucking tied back hair bun promoter who got it from another guy who got it from another guy who got it from another guy.
Right. Where did it come from?
It's so crazy. People are so free to put this random shit in your body you have no idea what's in it at all.
Not me. I will not do that shit.
No.
I know. Doesn't it kind of blow your mind at Coachella and shit where people will literally be like, yo, you got any Molly? And somebody be like, oh yeah, I do. And they'll be like, oh cool, thanks. And they'll just swallow it.
People just have this weird thing where they think, like, because they say it's Molly,
they believe them.
This is Molly.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want that. No, but I'll take this. Oh, that's Xanax. You know, like, you just, like, how are you so free? So I have. The only experiments that I've done are, like, taking a little bit of fucking drugs or whatever. Like, I know pharmaceutical companies are fucking evil.
Oh, yeah.
But when you go to fucking CVS and you get a Vicodin, you know it's going to be a fucking Vicodin, right? Still horrible, and you can get addicted, and it's awful.
Yes.
But you know what the fuck you're getting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're not getting it from a douchey club promoter. You're getting it from a big company that's just like, you know, this is how many milligrams of this, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I never really fucked with street drugs like that. But
It's scary. And actually, it's really weird because I've dated guys who were like totally addicted to that shit, and I had no idea. Like painkillers, like it was really crazy. I dated a guy who was totally addicted to painkillers, take them every day, and I hid it from me. Mm-hmm. And he would buy them from people on the street and shit like that. And I had no idea. And then one day, like, I'd found out because, like, he kept not having money to pay his half of the rent. And I was like, where the fuck's all this money going? You know what I mean?
Nope.
And finally, he had to fucking come clean, and then it all made sense. Like, it was just like, oh my God.
When people get addicted, people think they take, like, a couple pills a day. You get so addicted that some people take, like, fucking 80 pills a day. They'll just, like, sit there with, like, 3 bottles of water, and they'll just be like, here's 5, another 5, and they'll do, like, fucking, like, 60 in a row.
It's insane.
It's crazy how...
some people's tolerance gets so high that they can take that much.
I don't want to encourage anyone, but I'm surprised that the body could actually handle that. You're just like,
Some people can't.
You're a heroin addict for 40 years? How the fuck are you still living? How does your heart not give out at that point?
Me to everyone in my husband's band. I'm like, how are you guys still alive?
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. Like, I was actually telling my husband about this, too, is that it's so bananas because, like, he's done, like, every drug possible.
Yeah.
Like, I, meanwhile, like, look at, like, some weird weed the wrong way, and I'm fucked up for, like, a week. Like, some people's tolerances are so high, and some people are, like, me, we're so sensitive. Like, if I take, like, 3 Aleve, I get fucked up. Like, some people I can take, like, like,
we should have a leave party, bro. That would be hot.
No, but for real, like, I get really bad period cramps, and my OBGYN was like, it's cool to take 2 Aleve and 1 Tylenol arthritis. And I was like, that sounds like a lot, but all right, I'll do it.
Damn.
And every time
I knew you were a party girl. Damn, I knew you went hard.
Yo, I roll. I take motherfucking Aleve. Yeah, but like.
So- I mixed kombucha with Aleve and I was a hallucinator for 3 minutes.
Yo, for real though, like, first time I did it, I was like, whoa, I'm like tripping. Like, I'm just that sensitive to shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've never done shrooms. Yeah. I've never done ayahuasca. I've never done any of that shit.
I want to talk shrooms.
Okay, we're taking a quick break.
Okay.
And then we're coming right back and we're going to talk about all this drug shit.
All right.
Stay tuned on Worst First with Annie Milonakis.
Meow. Meow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, we're back. All right, so we're talking about drugs and drug tripping and everything. And my mm-hmm. husband's like, let's go to Costa Rica and do ayahuasca.
I'm going to Costa Rica in about 3 days, actually.
Are you going to do ayahuasca?
No, I'm going to play poker. Thank God.
I had like an external panic attack for you. Like I was like,
no, ayahuasca is probably the last thing that I would do.
Right?
But I do want to, my thing is because I'm such a prude with like psychedelics, I'm really just scared about like the anxiety.
Oh yeah.
If I didn't fear for having an anxiety attack while I'm fucking tripping and being like, I'm stuck here, I can't live anymore.
Yeah, I need a Valium or I'm going to die.
Yeah, so like what I want to do one day, I don't think I'm ready, but I want to like just start by like maybe like microdosing shrooms.
Right, right, right.
Shrooms kind of are interesting to me, but pretty much nothing else is besides like weed. And like, I'd love to like experience like a super, super mild shroom trip.
Yeah, mild.
Yeah.
But I feel like even mild, I'd freak the fuck out.
Yeah, I guess it just depends. I'd be like,
why is his hair moving? No, but it's weird too, actually, because my psychiatrist was actually telling me that they're starting to microdose people with depression with psilocybin mushrooms.
Psilocybin is mushrooms. It's the same exact thing.
All right, just kidding. So with psilocybin, I don't know what I'm fucking talking about, but she was like, it's actually something that they're experimenting
with. Yeah, it just passed recently for like FDA for tests.
Yes.
And shit.
And so I have friends that are going to try it. I'm like, dude, let me know how it goes. But fuck, it's scary.
I really think if you're really, really safe about the amount you do, like, you know, say an experienced person, you know, maybe takes a whole eighth, like 3.5 grams.
Right.
If you take like maybe start with like a half a gram.
Yeah.
I feel like your world is not going to melt in front of you for fucking 5 hours. You know, I think it's kind of more going to feel like a little bit like, all right, I feel a little warm. Maybe I feel a little bit psychedelic, but not like super, you know?
Like, I mean, like, I don't know if you relate to this, but I kind of just feel so fucked up in my everyday life that I can't imagine, like I don't want to feel more fucked up. Like, I feel so, like, I don't know if you ever do this, because I know you said you kind of have anxiety too, right?
I do, but it's very, very rare now.
Okay, but I don't know if you've ever had this when you were having anxiety where you've had, like, depersonalization, where you feel like you're sitting in your body or sitting, like, outside of yourself. Have you ever had that happen to you?
No, I don't think so.
So, like, for instance, I was driving here today,
mm-hmm.
and I have, like, such a high level of anxiety that sometimes, like, my body will, like, mentally take me out of it,
mm-hmm.
where I was sitting there driving, but in my brain I was, like, not in my body. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's very strange.
I totally get it. Yeah. I don't think it's happened to me, but I've had definitely had some hardcore anxiety before where I was just like, holy shit, I feel like there's
it's
like...
the worst.
Like, I'm surprised with all the anxiety attacks that I've had over time that there was never one point where I actually called 911. I was so
really
I was
good for you. I've gone to the emergency room.
Oh, you have?
Multiple times.
I've been very, very close where I'm like, I have the phone in my fucking hand and I'm
all
trying
like
to 9-1, fight it.
And you're like the one more.
I'm just trying to fight it because I was just thinking about how much it would suck the next few hours. So I was just like trying to fight it. But the things that, you know what's crazy that gives me anxiety attacks? I try not to get that far.
Caffeine.
Really, really bad hangovers.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. Well, it's like feeling like fucked up.
Yeah.
Triggers anxiety.
And especially when you're just not feeling healthy
you're
to like
feeling
that
well.
High level.
Yeah.
Of course, you're going to start flipping out and panicking, you know?
Right.
So the first time, the first like few months that I had like hardcore anxiety, I got prescribed Xanax.
Right.
Thank God I was like really, really careful with it.
Yeah, same. I have it, but I don't
and
take
it was just this like break glass for emergency thing in my pocket and just having it there being like
it was reassuring.
I can do this anytime. It's going to make me feel calm.
Yeah.
So now I'm feeling calm because I know it's there. And like that helped me so much. And like I used to perform, you know, Simon, obviously.
Yes.
Me, Simon, and Riff Raff, we used to do Three Loco. We used to perform live shows. And I was so jealous because these fucking motherfuckers were just in the green room getting drunk
and
partying,
like excited and carefree.
People just so carefree about to perform. And I'm huddled in a corner just having
nervous.
An anxiety attack, nervous.
Yeah.
And I would just always like have a Xanax in my hand being like, I'm trying so hard not to take this because if I don't take it, once I get on stage and start performing,
fine.
I'll be fine.
Yep.
And another reason why I didn't want to take it is because we were in all these cool cities.
And you're going to be tired.
No, because after we performed, I wanted to go drink and party. And I'm really strict on mixing and
benzos,
shit.
Yeah, benzos, yeah.
So, like, on the rare nights that I had to take it, I'm just in this, like, city for one night, and I just refused to drink that night because I would just be like, okay, well, I had to take the Xanax. I'm just not going to drink and party tonight.
Yeah.
Know? I was really responsible about
That's
it.
That's so good.
Yeah.
It's actually really funny, though, because I was on a plane, and I was sitting with this lady, and I have really bad anxiety when it comes to flying, because I hate anything where it's not in my control.
Mm-hmm.
So I get on the plane, and I'm, like, really nervous, and I'm, like, shaking, and, like, I have Valium in my purse, which I literally...
Can I have one? I'm just kidding.
I give you Valium on my podcast. You're like, I'm not really into drugs. You say you have Xanax? I'm sitting on this plane, and this lady sitting next to me, she's, like, this, like, rich, like, fancy-looking lady, whatever, and she's sitting with me, and I was shaking, and I take tiny little pieces of my Valium if I like absolutely need it to calm down. And she sees it and she goes, oh, is that Valium? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, oh gosh. She's like, I have mine too. She's like, I take a V&V every time I fly.
You went to the bathroom together with her and you snorted lines of it.
No, she goes, I take a V&V every time I fly. And I was like, what's a V&V? And she's like, a vodka and a Valium.
She's like a Stepford Wife.
I was like, all right, Dolores, have fun on your death trip. Like, what the fuck?
That's crazy.
Some people don't give a shit. Can I tell you something I think is really interesting, and I don't know if you've noticed this in life, but the more people don't care or are carefree, the more they aren't, like, the more those people are able to, like, do crazy drugs and be fucked up and do all this crazy shit, because it's almost like they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
I mean, I think it's maybe stuff that we see. We don't see the repercussions. For every time there's someone that doesn't feel that, or is the people who drinks and does a drug and overdoses. You know what
true.
I mean? Like,
that is true. Yeah.
So it's like, but.
Yeah.
It's funny. I had to get over major fear of flying shit. I used to be so bad that I had to take a train from New York to L.A., 3 days in a sleeper car, and I've done it probably like 10 times.
Stop.
I swear to God.
Because you didn't want to fly. I feel for you after all the 9/11 shit, because you're from New York.
I'm from New York.
Yeah.
And I was heading out the door, woke up late on my way to the city. I was going to go to Manhattan, and then I was going to transfer to Brooklyn. And I just was like leaving, and my dad's like, sit down, you're not going anywhere. And he turned on the TV, and I'm like, holy shit. And then when I kind of like, I was like, and then I got a call. This was really fucked up. I got a call, I think a day after 9/11. I had just interviewed And I was working in Westchester County in New York, like kind of in the burbs. I got a call like a day after or day before 9/11, I forget, saying I just got my first job in Manhattan doing IT shit for an accounting firm. And I had to go in like 2 or 3 days after 9/11. And I'm like, I got to take this job. Yeah. I'm like, it doesn't sound that crazy now taking that job. 3 days after that thing happened.
That's so traumatic. Who's even functioning 3 days after that?
So now I'm like, yeah, everybody's like, what's going to happen next? Is there going to be some crazy war? Are there going to be more terrorist attacks, more fucking plane explosions, more fucking bombs? No one fucking knew. It was just total like fucking running around with chaos. Pulling your hair. Chaos. Yeah. So I was just like, fuck, I got to take this shit. And then
did you take the job?
I took the job. I went into the city like 3 days after 9/11. And the first day, the accounting firm, I was the IT guy. I had to do all the computer shit. The first day I got there, there was a big, big virus on all the computers. So I had to stay to fix everything because these accountants bill out at like $500 an hour or probably something like that. So I had to stay to fix everything. So everybody left at like 6 or 7. I stayed overnight on my first day of work by myself
in New York
on 51st and Madison.
Oh my god.
In this creepy fucking creepy building. And I stayed overnight till not just overnight, but till the next morning till like 8 o'clock when everybody else came back in.
Oh my god, to fix it?
To fix everything.
Did you fix it?
I fixed everything. They had a little semicircle meeting. I told everybody like I had to go. Because before an antivirus comes out for a brand new virus, you have to go into the registry and like fuck with like everything manually. So I fixed the server computer, then I had to fix every individual computer. They went in a little semicircle. I like told everybody, and they all like clapped for me, and they sent me home in a town car like an hour away back home. Wow. And then after that, I was like, all right, I kind of proved myself the first day. I could start, like, coming in a little late, dressing a little funky and shit, like.
Wait. I want to know, how did you even get into doing IT stuff? Were you just always a computer person?
While I was flunking out of high school, I was, like, in the very early days of the fucking internet, I was doing, like, fucked up illegal shit.
Really?
Like,
You were, like, hackers? Life?
I was not, like, a good hacker or anything, but I was learning from a lot of kids online of, like, you know, we were, like, fucking stealing fucking America Online accounts. I had, like, 1,000 accounts. If people in a chat room were talking shit to me, I could just, like, fucking ban them. And used to use America Online.
Yeah, AOL.
You didn't just use it to go on. You didn't just use it as a service. You used it as your main internet provider. So if you couldn't dial up to it and your account was banned, you just didn't have internet.
Right.
So if someone talked shit to me, I would just fucking cancel their fucking internet. Like, I would fuck with people.
So you were good with computers.
I was good with computers.
Are you still good with computers?
I'm definitely still good, but not as good.
Right.
But, so I went to, So while I was learning about computers in high school and doing all this fucked up shit, now that I'm trying to stick to the theme of the show a little bit, I just forgot about this till now.
Yeah.
One of my friends got busted for this fucked up shit that I was, you know, I was doing shit with. My father's a crazy Greek guy. He hangs out with only people at restaurants and also, like, fellow Greeks. Always, like, he's always with blue-collar people, mechanics with fucking grease on their fucking shirts and shit. So I come home one day, and I see 3 fucking white dudes in suits, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
It was the fucking FBI. They fucking showed up to my fucking house. They sat there, and they asked me all these questions. You know, I admitted to a lot of shit. I didn't give any names, but I admitted to a lot of shit. And I admitted to maybe not everything, but I admitted to a lot of shit. And then they tried to seize my computer. And my father's like, we need a lawyer. I was over 18 at the time. So I pretty much told my father, I'm like, and the FBI that was there, I was like, if they leave right now and we get a lawyer, that shows I'm more guilty from other shit that I didn't do. So as soon as they leave, I could just format my hard drive and write over it.
Yeah.
And then
they wouldn't be able to find anything.
They wouldn't be able to find anything.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how about you just let them take it so it shows that I'm not guilty of these things? Because all the, like, really fucked up shit, like credit card fraud and shit like that, I never did any of that.
So they were, like, going to try to get you for that, but you didn't do it.
Yeah, so I was like, to let them take it. And then
like, I canceled some asshole's fucking accounts, sue me, you know? Yeah. They were talking shit.
So yeah. I was like, let them take it. Yeah. And then I guess that maybe, I don't know if they thought I was bluffing or whatever, but for whatever reason, even though I told them I was over 18, I gave permission to take it.
Yeah.
They ended up not taking it. I guess they saw that confidence and they were like, all right, and they just left. Never heard from them again.
Yeah, because probably if you were like, don't take it, then they'd be like, oh, he's guilty.
Yeah.
But if you were like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Damn, you got the fucking feds at your house, dude. Yeah,
that was crazy.
That's fucking gnarly. Were you on The Man Show before
Jimmy
this?
Jimmy Kimmel Live, not The Man Show.
What? Sorry, Jimmy Kimmel Live. Sorry. All right, well, way to know your guests at work. oh, my God. So Jimmy Kimmel Live, when was that? Was that before or after this?
That was way before.
Way before. Yeah. So you'd done Jimmy Kimmel Live.
No, Jimmy Kimmel Live was way after this.
Way after this. Yeah, yeah. Okay. How did that happen?
So
were you an actor as a kid?
No.
Nothing. Okay.
No, I was nothing. No,
I was nothing. I was a hacker. Yeah.
It's kind of funny though. All this like fuckery. I kind of like think of it as like failing upwards. Like all this fuckery that I was doing on the computers, I was like getting good with like, you know, making little websites, right. You know, learning ins and outs. I was building computers. Right. I was learning about network shit, you know, all the security shit. Yeah. So, you know, early on, I was such a computer junkie, so anything that came out, any new technology, I was super up on. Mm-hmm. So, like, getting, like, a fucking webcam, you know, in, like, I don't know, the fucking 90s, and making a video of yourself, there was no YouTube.
Right.
You had to, like, have your own website. I started making a bunch of videos of just me. I was just like, all right, I have a video and I like comedy, so I just made videos of just doing silly ass shit.
Yeah.
It was just really good timing because it was like a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I had to make three different types of files because people didn't have like good internet. Like some people had to download the videos. If you had a Mac or a PC, you needed a different video file to click on.
Whoa.
So I was doing that shit hella early. I had hundreds of videos on this website called Angry Naked Pat. And basically, I did hundreds of videos, and I'd have, like, maybe 10 responses to each video, but I just kept doing them, and then all of a sudden, one of them just went super viral. And this was so long ago that when my video started getting, like, it started getting 100,000 plays a day.
Whoa.
I got called from my internet company, and they told me I owed them, like, $8,000 because I went over in data. And, like, you didn't used to get paid for it. You used to have to pay for
the
data.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so I had to work out some deal with them. I'm like, I didn't know.
You're like, I'll shout you guys out. What can I do? Can I give you a brand? Like, can we do a brand deal? Like,
yeah, so fucking, so
you're like, it's not my fault people like my shit.
Yeah, wow. So fucking Kimmel found that and one of my videos that went viral. And at first, he had me sign release forms just to play some of my videos.
Right.
And then they were like, they wanted a little more. So they looked at my other videos and they saw one video I had where I was out in a blizzard in New York and I was recording people, but I was holding the camera. I wasn't on camera. I was just like asking them why they're out in a blizzard. But the joke was, I'm also out in a blizzard. I'm like, why are you out in a blizzard? Why? What are you getting coffee in a blizzard? Why didn't you stay home? And, like, nobody was asking me, why am I in the blizzard, too, you know? So they're like, we like that video, but you weren't on it. So they're like, they made me go do a special video for them. They're like, we need you
on camera.
So I had my friend who was doing the website with
film me.
And I went out to Manhattan, and I was just, like, I was feeding homeless ladies chicken wings, like, hand-feeding them chicken wings. I was, like, rapping with this dude on the corner about fucking Coca-Cola. I was just, like, talking shit, doing my thing. And I sent them the tape, and they liked it. And they're like, all right, we want to hire you to be a traveling correspondent. And they started sending me all over America.
That's awesome. Were you so excited?
It was, like, fucking... Because at the time, then I started having goals about doing comedy because I was doing Upright Citizens Brigade. I was taking improv classes.
Yeah.
And, like, there's nothing inside me that would have been like, let me move to Hollywood to try to do this for a living. But I was still...
Having fun.
In the mix, having fun with that shit. And So yeah, they hired me as a correspondent, and then eventually, you know, they were putting me up in a hotel in LA for a couple months when I finally went out to LA. And then they were like, yeah, I went there on a 1 week trip, and they were eventually like, we can't pay for hotels anymore. You just need to sign a lease. So I just—
Were they going to pay the lease?
No.
Oh.
But they were paying me.
But they were paying you, so they were like, just live out here.
Yeah, they're like, just live out here. So on a 1 week trip out here, I like fucking signed my lease. I went back home and I was like, I live in LA now, peace, bitch.
Whoa!
Sorry, parents.
No more blizzards for me, motherfuckers.
And that's when the dab was invented. I go, sorry, parents, I live in LA now, and I dabbed, and I created the dab.
Did
and,
you really?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh.
Believes anything. Whoa, that's amazing. Wait, were your parents so proud of you, though? Were they like, fuck yeah?
Yes. My mom was like outwardly insanely proud of me, and the best feeling was after, like, later on, Kimmel brought me to MTV to, you know, pitch my own show.
Yes, which was very successful.
And my dad was always telling me when I was taking improv classes, because I was paying, like, you know, every couple months I was paying a few hundred dollars to take improv classes. He's this crazy Greek. He's like, they steal your money. Why are you doing this? He's like, they're stealing your money. You don't know they're stealing your money. And then I sat his fucking Greek ass down on a couch and I showed his last name on TV. And I was like,
and he was like,
that was that moment. I was like, yeah, boy, that's what's up, boy. They're stealing what, boy? I'm going to buy you a Rari, bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
I got the motherfucking grape leaves, bitch.
I got you a house made out of feta, ho.
I brought the souvlaki, motherfucker. Damn.
Greek bars.
Damn. Greek bars. I'm dead. So that's crazy. Do you have brothers and sisters or no?
Yeah, I don't talk about my whole family, though, because I'm like, I'm trying to do some Bill Burr awkward shit.
Oh, okay, so fuck your family. Just kidding. But that's so cool that you fucking did it. Like, how cool is that? That's so fucking crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
and all your weird little internet hacking is what helped you make the fucking videos to get online to show see Jimmy Kimmel's people. Like, how crazy is that?
No, it is crazy, and I do feel cool about it because it's like I definitely did a lot of things in life that were headed towards failure.
Right.
Getting in trouble with the FBI, dropping out of high school, just kind of like, I wasn't like in the streets doing crazy crimes and shit, but like, I wasn't doing things in life necessarily to like get me towards a winning mentality and doing big shit. Until I like also like even before the Kimmel shit, which was good, there are a lot of careers in life that you need college education, you need, you know, diploma.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But what's good about computers, especially back then, as long as you knew your shit, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They'll hire you.
Yeah.
If you can keep a big company up and running,
yeah,
that's so valuable.
Yeah.
And the proof is in the pudding, you know? Yeah. Like, so doing all that weird computer shit, even though I was a high school dropout and shit, you know, I started doing help desk, which is the fucking worst.
What's that?
It's answering the phone and teaching fucking old people how to fix their computer. Like, over the phone, you have to describe each fucking thing to do.
No!
It's really
You're
bad.
You're that person?
No, that was the first job. That was the, like, lowest
You were like
tier.
The paperclip? Can I help you?
I was talking paperclip. So it started with help desk, then it started with desktop support, which is more hands-on.
Yeah.
Then I did, like, password security, then I eventually was, like, a network administrator. So, like, even if I didn't, you know, get the whole Kimmel thing going on, I might have...
kept going with computers.
Yeah, I still would have, like, had a roof over my head and shit, but it wouldn't have been as fun, you know?
Isn't it so fucking crazy that, I mean, this is my kind of belief, too, because, like, I mean, I graduated with honors in high school. I don't really give a shit. I didn't go to a real college. I think that... The funny thing is, if you find something you're really good at, it doesn't matter what your degree is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you find one thing that you're really dope at, you can make money at it.
Well, it's I agree and I disagree with certain things. Like, you're a really good lawyer.
Yeah.
But did you pass the bar exam?
Oh, well, that's true. I mean, well, okay, so that you kind of have to have a degree, right?
But, yeah, certain things, I mean... I mean, there are so many examples that work in what you say, though.
Right, right.
You know?
That is true, though. You do
every blue-collar thing. Right. And then there's a bunch of white-collar shit, too. Like, computers. Like,
I keep meeting more and more people, though, in life who have never graduated high school or who dropped out and are so successful.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to encourage people to drop out of high school because you're lazy and you don't want to fucking be in high school.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, these people were, like, in their head, they were like, I know what I'm going to do. I know my path, and this I don't need. And they fucking peaced out, yeah, and they went out to do whatever they were going to do.
Yeah, if you have, like, a dream and a backup plan.
Yeah.
And both of those don't need a diploma.
Yeah.
Then fucking go for it, right? Like, when I was doing computers, I would work, like, 40, 50 hours a week, but I was still doing improv on the side, and I was, like, tired as fuck because I would, like, at first, before I lived in the city, I would commute. And then after like an 8-9 hour day, I would go to Upright Citizens Brigade and do a 3-hour class. Or then I would go to a show for a couple hours and I'd hang out with all these improvisers. And then we had separate coach sessions. And I never once thought this is going to turn into a career for me. But as long as you can do something that's like you're passionate about,
yes,
even if you don't do it for a living, as long as you make time for it, yeah, you're still fulfilled because you're still doing it. And if you keep fucking at it, then that can eventually make the shift. Not always, but sometimes it can make the shift from a little hobby as your passion to coming number one as what's paying your bills, you know?
And the internet has really changed all that.
Yeah.
I mean, the internet has... I mean, look at me. Like, I had the same kind of story as you where I just started making videos for yeah, fun. And I couldn't even afford UCB. I wanted to go to UCB. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go to Groundlings, but I couldn't afford the $400 like every other month. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was so broke.
And you were giving too much food away to homeless people.
I was like, I was, yeah, I was fucking, I was just like, I was living off my dad was paying for my life. So I like couldn't be like, hey, dad, can I get an extra $400 for this fucking improv classes where I took a clown?
He'd be like, they're stealing your money. Yeah, I'm not even Greek.
Exactly.
Why do I talk like this?
My dad would be like, you act like a clown without me giving you $400. So why do you need this $400? You know what I mean? Like, he didn't really get the point. So I just found a way. And then, like, when the internet with Vine, when that came out, I just started having fun on there.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking this is going to turn into a career. Yeah. This is going to turn into something. I was like, I'm just a fucking moron who's having fun and enjoying myself.
And that's usually the best way, a lot of people think, because when your level of effort is fueled by this is a business.
Right.
Sometimes you lose stuff, I think. Sometimes you lose like that raw like fire of like, I love this. Then like, if I do this song and this type of hook, it's gonna make
really
more views,
blow up.
Make
yeah,
more fucking money, motherfucker.
That's kind of ruined it for me now. Cause like I got on TikTok and I'm having a lot of fun on there.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me, like, cause I know what happened with Vine, I'm like, part of me in my head, like, I've learned just from being on Vine, like, what works, what's popular, what's this, what's that, and it's corrupted me in a way.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I would used to do videos just authentic to who I am and be, like, having fun.
Yeah.
Now, before I make a video, I'm always like, I have that shit in my head, like, oh, I already know, like, the secret, and I know, like, how to do certain things.
But you're self-aware about it, so now it's up to you if you want to change that.
Right.
Just knowing that, you could just cock block yourself and being like, you know, this might get a tenth of the views, but this is what I think
more
is
original.
Funnier,
exactly,
more original.
Exactly, but it's so funny because I'll go on there and I'll do something that's more original than me and it will get like a tenth of the views. And then I'll do something that is trendy and trending and use a trending song and a trending fucking vibe and it'll blow up. And I'm just like, wow, that's like so crazy to me. You know, I mean, it makes sense because, you know.
The masses have bad taste, that's why.
Exactly, like it kind of sucks. Like when I used to be able to do stuff that, you know, on like you said, when we first started on Vine, it was different. It was more artsy and more goofy. Like, you know, you had to have like a kind of a skewed sense of humor. And then it just got to be like what's traditionally funny, you know? It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
There's like a weird, almost like a weird science to it, which is kind of like a bummer in a way.
Yeah.
But then there's people who are popular from being quirky and not falling into that, like Bo Burnham and people like that. So there's some people that haven't kind of given in.
Yeah, I don't think everybody has to go the Andy Kaufman route,
right,
or the Neil Hamburger route, which is like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to get up here and intentionally bomb.
Yes.
Because I am going to just do something that I think is cool and interesting. And I don't care if the whole crowd fucking boos me. You know what? If they boo me, that's even better. And I like that raw confidence. I don't think everything everybody has to do in comedy or in performance has to be that level of like gutsy raw. right. You know, but I think, like, you know, just variety, you know what I mean? Like, even when people make music, you can make a song that's really catchy because you know it's going to be big and you're like, you want to make some anthem shit that a lot of people are going to watch. And then you could make some, like, roots fucking lyrical shit. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's room for everything, you know?
True. And I also, like, pray that, like, I don't know what's coming next, you know? I don't know what the next big thing is. I mean,
I think, you know, it's kind of already has been here, but I've been doing this live streaming shit for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all roses, you know? It takes up way too much time. You have to put a lot of time in it to be successful at it. But
what do you live stream on?
Twitch.
Twitch. Yeah, Twitch is huge,
so,
yeah.
Most people are playing video games, but there's also a section. It used to be called IRL, which stands for In Real Life, which is the better name. And then they call it Just Chatting now, which is kind of lame.
Just chatting.
When you go into this section,
yeah,
98% of the people are just sitting at a computer, talking, chilling, you know, which is big in itself and gets a lot of views. But there's a handful of people, including me, that we travel and we go stream and we have a backpack with a camera.
Whoa.
With four different modems. And instead of a YouTube video that's, like, edited, anything bad happens, you could take it out.
Yeah.
You could cut little jokey moments. This thing, like, I'll be in Tokyo for fucking a month, and every day I'll stream for, like, 8 to 10 hours. My whole fucking day, going into all these stores, meeting random people, going to get drinks, just talking to people, going to fucking touristy destinations. And
that's your whole life.
Yeah, like, it takes up so much time, but you're talking about what's next. Like, the amount of, like, the viewers, that raw fucking mainline of, I'm not just watching entertainment, I'm watching reality. This is the closest form of real reality, because the person's not acting and it's going on right now. Yeah. And I can interact with them. You know, somebody could give me an idea, like,
dude, it's like the Truman Show.
Yeah. Like, I was in Long Beach, and I was just like, oh, there's these little boats. I'm like, what if I just rent this boat for the night and I stream here having some beers and I'll stay here overnight to stream the whole night?
Do you go by yourself?
Sometimes.
Wow.
So everybody in my chat was like, yeah, that's cool, right? And then I called the company and they're like, yeah, there's like a 3-week wait. And then someone in my chat was like, what about the Queen Mary? The Queen Mary is this boat.
I know, in Long Beach.
Yeah, it's like bigger than the fucking Titanic.
And it's haunted.
And there's actually rooms that you could rent as a hotel. I didn't have any clothes. I didn't have any plans. I was just like, okay, I just walked on this fucking boat. I got a hotel room on the boat. I did this midnight fucking haunted tour in the engine room and the old fucking broken pool. And that idea was just from someone in chat, said go to the fucking Queen
and
Mary.
And they let you do that there? They let you film it and everything?
It was a gray area.
You're like, I did it without their permission. It's all good, though.
But yeah, I mean, that type of shit, I think, is going to get bigger and bigger as you know, 5G and more technology comes up where you don't need this whole big rig. You could just stream with your phone.
People love watching people.
Yeah.
We're a very, like, voyeuristic society.
But when you're not when you're watching something that was filmed a year ago, or when you're watching something as it's happening, is different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that shit's just going to keep blowing up, the live shit, you know?
So how do people find you on Twitch?
It's twitch.com/BrittanyFurlong. No.
Yeah.
No, it's just my full name.
Okay, so yeah, twitch.com/AndyMilonakis. Look up the spelling. You can figure it out.
Yeah, but that shit's cool. But, you know, it's like I said, it's not perfect. It takes up way too much of my fucking time because I want to do other stuff. And it's like, you have to, like, really
you
be gotta doing...
You
got
to bring your fucking Twitch into, like, getting an anal exam. You're like, sorry, doc. This is how I pay the bills. Stick it in.
The emergency room. Right. I'm bleeding.
Breaking your fucking leg again. What did it feel like, by the way?
I was kind of drunk. But
so
it was
really
fucking
tell.
Painful.
It was painful?
Yeah.
Did you, like, feel the bone break?
I mean, it happened so
fast,
quick.
Yeah.
But I definitely, like, when I was laying there, I felt like I couldn't move. Like, I was like, fuck. Luckily, I didn't hit my fucking head, man.
Oh, that's fucking gnarly.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. I fucking loved having you here today. We're already
yeah,
in an
fun.
Hour. This went really fast.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's crazy when I have, like, the greatest conversations with people. I feel like time is, like...
Yeah, we had some machine gun shit.
Dude.
Drugs and broken legs.
That's what we're going to title this podcast. Okay, so you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter, you're on Twitch, and it's all just Andy Milonakis. People know where to find you. Guys, I was so happy to have my guest today, Andy Milonakis. Make sure to leave lots of comments, lots of love. I read all your comments, even the shitty ones, and I appreciate you all for listening, and we'll check you all next week on Worst First. Meow, 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 meow. Meow. Do you have a cat?
No.
No, I don't. I just like meow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.